I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 86, off-season edition, and getting ever closer to opening day with the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Hey, brother. Good to be here.
Since we last talked, you had alumni weekend. You got all the old guys back and a little alumni game and golf tournament and activities. Tell us about the weekend.
Yeah, it's crazy, Ted. We feel like, with all that's gone on and all that continues to go on with, recruiting and community service initiatives and all that we do from a team development standpoint, it seems like alumni weekend was 4 years ago now, but it wasn't just a month and it was great. We had wonderful weather and an outstanding football game. We had a great banquet, as we always honor our seniors. And Ted, you were awesome during that. And the golf outing was smooth, in and out. We actually went to Geneva Country Club this year and tried the 9-hole course with different tee boxes. That worked out great. So everything was according to plan, really. Nothing crazy out of the ordinary, but also a very successful weekend with a lot of participation and lots of guys staying connected to what we do on a daily basis. So ultimately a huge success.
I always love that dinner. The guys come in from past years, you honor the seniors, but one of the things I like about it the best is how quickly the new players and parents seem to integrate into the program. I mean, it's like they're old friends, that some of these people have just barely met.
Yeah, I think our parent group is dynamic in that sense, where whoever has committed to being a part of this Hobart family, I think our parent group does a really good job of making them feel welcome, included, and just also aware of the big events that Hobart Lacrosse has, the things that they want to be present for, the things they want to make sure they don't miss. And I know that banquet's one of them. I think what you see or hear, I hope, during that whole banquet, Ted, is just how much we value the men here as people. It's certainly something that we've talked a ton about on the podcast. Is, we want to make sure that each senior leaves here understanding that they are more than just players. They're more than good lacrosse players, talented lacrosse players. That they are excellent people, and that's the only way cultural strategy is executed, is if your men are focused on the relationships they're building and how they're treating one another. And I think hearing that type of evaluation of what a four-year senior or fifth-year senior means to this program is very important for our young guys and our young families. That our goals are essentially superficial, like many, in terms of winning and winning championships, and all we want to do on a daily practice field basis or a weight room basis, or the gains we want to make. Those are tangible things. I think the intangible element here is the purpose for which we want these men to feel throughout their 4 and 5 years here, and how they want to leave with the correct knowledge of basically how to handle the rest of their life. We really want to be impactful in that specific scenario more than all others. So it's great that they hear that. I think they feel right away that their sons will be taken care of, and that we can develop a system here, Ted, where we can fight the superficial inevitability of what Division I athletics is at this point, and just kind of teach our guys that the grass ain't greener anywhere else. It's greener where you water it. And so I think starting them off early in one of their first couple of weekends here, understanding that concept is very important to us.
It took me a long time to understand this, because I was never an athlete of any note. I was never a part of a team like this. And I always said, boy, if I was a player, I'd want to go someplace where I could play. But when you talk about the seniors each year, you explain the contribution they made, whether they were an all-league first teamer or the number four face-off guy who pushed the number one guy in practice. I mean, everyone has a role to play. Everyone can be a contributor if they choose to do so.
Sure, sure. You know, Ted, you're not unique in that you'd want to play wherever you went. Everybody does. I think the why that's established with these young men prior to choosing an institution to play lacrosse or playing collegiate athletics, I think has become tragically skewed in a lot of ways. So, you know, a lot of those questions we ask our recruits now when they're in our office, it's, you know, why are you doing all this? You know, and they look at us crazy every once in a while, but we continue to ask it. Why are you going to all these club tournaments? Why do you want to play this sport at this level? What is it about this that has you so intrigued? And some of them have great answers. Some of them don't. And, you know, the ones that do have great answers are the ones we speak about 4 years from then. And, you know, I think even more important to knowing what their role is, Ted, as you commented on, or how important every role is. I mean, we showed a clip in one of our family seminars of practice where our shot clock was off. And we have a couple injured guys that are completely selfless role up in our press box, running our shot clock and running our scoreboard. And we made the point where we said, look, this offensive possession is outstanding, and we are capitalizing on a ton of the principles that we want to operate our offense under. But they didn't have enough time to complete this possession because we didn't reset this shot clock well. And nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to be in the press box. Nobody wants to be running a shot clock. But if you can't participate because of an injury or because of a sickness or this, you can still add to the development and the growth of our program on a daily basis. And we, whether that's wasted time or not, you'd have to convince me that it is. But instead of starting that possession at 42 seconds, if we start it at 80 when they got possession of the ball, now we're talking about actually getting better and getting prepared for our game. So just that example in itself, I mean, nobody wants to hear it, but all the ins and outs of how we develop the great play we need on both ends of the field, the players that we need to focus, where they need to focus their time and their effort for their execution, it all matters. And, you know, whether or not we do that successfully and the outcome becomes what we want it to be on the field of play is always yet to be determined. But we're still building a foundation here, Ted. There's no reason to not do the right things or to stay committed to your team or honor that commitment you made prior to being there. There's no reason to not do it correctly every day, no matter what the scenario is. If you're our best player, if you're our worst player, whatever that means, or if you're injured, there is something for you to do to make us better. There's no doubt about that. And in a place like Hobart, where the resources aren't in a crazy abundance in terms of, you know, who's running our Instagram account, who's filming our practices, who's running our shot clock, who's making sure the balls are prepared, who's making sure the water's out there, all of those things, if those are neglected details, then I'm not sure the foundation of our house or what we're trying to build is in a really good place. So it's great that in the elements where we can speak, even briefly, as long as that banquet may seem, those are brief discussions and descriptions of a four-year process. And one thing that we haven't talked about, Ted, is all the bumps and bruises, the injuries, the things that sway your motivation or your focus, that that make the conversations in the mirror ones that our guys, one, don't want to have or they're uncomfortable having, but those are the most necessary ones. And when you look at specifically a guy like John Herlihy, who battled crazy injury throughout his whole career here, was one of our best players. I mean, Ted, you saw him when his hands were free and his feet were set. I'm not sure the ball was ever not in the back of the net. I mean, he was a very talented player. But, you know, there's a lot of things that could have said, hey, you don't need to keep doing this. I mean, this hurts or that hurts or it's not working out. And then he comes back for a fifth year after all of that stuff and just commits and buys into himself and then has a fifth year, Ted, that is full of, again, more injury, more adversity, more opportunities to persevere. And the best part about those conversations that we can have about John Herlihy is he chose the perseverance. He made the choice to say, you know what? I committed to this thing. I'm going to do it for good, bad, or ugly, and I'm going to be much better for it in the end. And so all of the things that we comment from a role standpoint are important, but all of these young guys hearing that, hey, you can have a great career if it's not the exact way you thought it'd go. And I think that's part of the issue that we're dealing with now with a lot of this, the superficial nature of the human race at this point. I know that sounds dramatic, but it is. What have you done for me now? What have you done for me lately? When can I feel good again? Yada, yada, yada. And in the end, I think as soon as more people like Johnny Herlihy figure out that it's a choice, that the majority of what you're going to do after this will be very beneficial.
Well, and then if I'm a young guy on the team and I see that, I'm saying, okay, no one wants to hear about my little tweak or my head cold. You know, I'm out there. I'm gaming.
Sure. And Ted, how many times have you heard about the guy that scored a ton of goals, right? The guy that had a ton of assists, the guy that won a ton of faceoffs? Those are great. I mean, we need them. You know, I don't want to sound like I don't love it when people execute on the field. I do. It's a huge part of this thing, and that's what we push for ultimately. But I mean, how many times have you heard about the guy that tore his ACL twice, came back and didn't play? Right, came back and it didn't work out for him the way he thought, but he stayed. You know that those are the stories that I think are, at least to me, more motivational than the alternative. The guy that went through the whole process swimmingly and did a phenomenal job. They both have great weight. They both have great prowess in terms of what we need from a team aspect. We can't have, you know, had everybody hurt and everybody not playing. Of course, we need great players out there. We need guys that will execute and guys that will set records, scoring goals and assists and ground balls and cause turnovers. That, you know, statistics aren't huge in our program, but obviously that stuff matters. The execution does matter here. So I don't want to sound like it doesn't. But, you know, at the same time, the motivation that young men need to hear right now is that this thing is very challenging. It just is, but it's a great challenge, and it's one that can mold a lot of different decision-making in your life if you commit to that challenge and understand that when things go wrong or things are a little bit tough, that it's an opportunity for you to get better and to grow that foundation of the house like we talk about.
You went down to Colgate recently for a scrimmage. It wasn't 12 degrees and a blizzard, so that was an improvement.
Oh, yeah. By far nicest weather we've ever experienced in Hamilton, New York. There's no doubt about that.
So
go ahead. Sorry,
I was going to say, just let's talk about your approach in a scrimmage, what you're looking for. Of course, you want to win. Of course, you want to, you know, have game situations. But part of it's evaluating people, seeing if they're suited to the role that you have them penciled in for. So take a kind of a broader look at what you're watching for in a scrimmage.
Yeah, well, this one was specific. You know, our coaching staff had a pretty exact agenda for wanting to play Colgate. The first being, this is the first season in a while that we're not going to play them in the spring, and it's a great upstate rival. It's a game with some history, a game with some emotion. You know, for some reason, we can't really locate. You know, maybe it's just things that have happened in the past, acquaintances on teams, whatever it is. But, you know, we feel like they don't really like us and our guys don't really like them. And there's some, maybe it's the canceled games or who knows. It certainly has become a heated battle, you know, and to the point where the officials in that game have to in the scrimmage had to come over and be like, okay, you guys need to have a conversation with your teams. It's getting a little bit too chippy out here, a little bit too physical, a little bit too mouthy. And so, but to rewind to the original point, we want to make sure the relationship with that program continues. We respect our coaches. We think they do a great job. And so that was the first priority. The second is how they play. You know, we felt like one of our biggest ailments in some pretty high profile games was, One, our inability to ride, and two, our inability to clear against a pressure ride. And so if we make the choice to be much better in the gray area here this year, which when we've had great seasons, we have been very good in between the lines and very good on the ground, and you know, a very high clearing percentage, an ability to ride the ball back or change up the pace a bit. So those are things we wanted to test in the most high pressure or chaotic scenarios that we could. We wanted our first years or returning seniors and everybody in between to have that be their first competition experience. High paced, high pressure. You got to make great decisions when you're tired. So those were mainly the two objectives that we wanted to fulfill. And then the third is to answer the question is, and I think I've said this a bunch here, Ted, but you just want to see guys not influenced by the emotion of the situation, at least not too much. And you want to see players doing things that you've coached them to do, taking the freedoms you've given them, and, you know, executing in a fundamental fashion, not one where their plays are highlighted or at a different magnitude than they would be in practice. So we want to see that balance specifically. Our guys to treat it as if you're playing another opponent. And, you know, in all facets of competition, man, you got to get your hate on a little bit. There's got to be some competitive drive to playing a different opponent. But can we keep that drive healthy with the focus on us? And that's where we thought a year ago, Ted, we had a lot of issues with emotional influence with what an opponent said or a call a referee made, things that we can't control, we felt ultimately influenced our execution. So as we talk to our guys each year, and we put more emphasis on it this year, we don't talk to our opponent, we don't talk to the refs. That's the way that it goes. This new era of a lack of sportsmanship, it's something that we feel a lot here as a coaching staff. And it's not our strategy. We want to be as focused on Hobart lacrosse and the things that we do from a part to a whole standpoint. We want to do that better than our opponent. And I do think that's a healthier approach to winning, a healthier approach to playing well. And in the first competition, we want our guys to see that we don't play the game so that our opponent feels bad. That, I know that sounds elementary, but that's the truth. We don't want any emotion tied to how our opponent feels.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. We want everything that we do tied to all the work we've put in, the sacrifice our guys make, to help our system execute better and make sure that our teammates are in a good state mentally, a good state emotionally, prepared for the next play, prepared to make fast decisions and play with freedom and all that good stuff. So, in a long-winded way, that's what we watch on film. You know, and the things that we corrected after that scrimmage was, is this you, you know, or are you influenced by just trying to make your defender unhappy? Like, let's make sure we differentiate that. We want to pursue victory here. We don't want to avoid defeat and or influence the feelings of our opponent, as I said earlier. So that's what we watched for most. We knew it was going to be a high-pressure competition. We knew that they, Colgate loves to talk a lot. They love to try and influence your emotion. And we were just anxious to see how young and old all of our guys handled that.
Let's talk about this year's team captains. That goes back to that ethos we were just talking about, that it's interesting to see who gets chosen, because it's not always about superstar status. It's about leadership in the locker room and character.
Yes, yeah. So, you know, our voting system, Ted, is pretty self-explanatory, but we require three votes for your teammates with great example and or reason / rationale for why. So our whole team will email our coaches with their three picks and their three reasons why those are those three picks. And if they're not great, we send it back and say, now you haven't spent any time on this. This is a big job. We ask a lot of these young men, and you will depend on them a lot. They will also ask you to do a lot of things that you may not want to. So be sure and tell us if you are sure, and these picks are fine, but describe why. And so our guys have gotten very disciplined in that voting system, and we love it. I mean, it takes me forever to read all the captains' votes. It is, it's a one of the a part of this job that I love. It might be top five, hearing the way our guys talk about the individuals they think are the best leaders we have. It's a special thing. And again, another element to what we hope grows the climate or makes the climate warmer here and solidifies the culture. I think it's a great exercise. So, but by an overwhelming landslide, I mean, these three guys got probably the most, the majority of votes from a 1-2-3 standpoint. We've always had one or two outliers where, they get a lot of our team's votes. These three were, I mean, there were very rarely on the team, maybe four or five occasions where not all three didn't get votes from everyone on their team. And so we've never been in that place before and really believe, like, quote unquote, that the team has spoken. Nolan Firth returns as a captain for us. He was a captain as a junior through as you know, Ted, a tough season with lots of captains' meetings and lots of angles to keep the team motivated and driven, and he did a phenomenal job. So I think that was a little bit of a layup, just because that's how he carries himself. He did since he was a freshman. He carries himself as a captain. And the other counterpart, Alex Rosa, awesome story, that we'll get into in depth, I think, as this year goes on, and what he did to get here, the legacy that he's a part of with, his father being in our Hobart Hall of Fame, and just who he is on a daily basis is kind of hard to describe. All three of these guys are very similar, but Rosie is an outlier just in terms of his ability to communicate, how much he perfects his craft, and how humble he is to the magnitude of the team's task. He just has that balance. And essentially our definition of leadership, Ted, absolute pride in performance, complete humility over the magnitude of the task. And he does both, balances them both extremely well. So, and Rosie has been a constant impact on game day since he's been here, and will continue to do so. And the third is another awesome journey and plight to get to this point. John Jude Considine is a guy that lost his season last year with a pretty unique injury, and has been one that's kind of transformed his whole process here from his freshman year to this year. I don't want to say he's a different person. I just want to say he has grown tremendously and bought in completely to what Hobart Lacrosse is and who he wants to be as an influence of Hobart Lacrosse. So, John Jude is also a terrific player, and Ted, you've seen all these guys when they're on fire, they're on fire, and when they're on fire, we're on fire, really. So if that makes any sense. So so Nolan Firth, Alex Rosa, and John Jude Considine are going to be the three captains for our 24-25 season.
All right, let's meet the first years. Give us just kind of a quick capsule of each first year player coming in and where you see him fitting into the puzzle.
Sure. If there's a quick version, Ted, I don't know if I've ever had a quick version of anything, but I'll do my best. We'll start at the offensive end, and these guys have been outstanding thus far. It's very clear to see their talent, their skill level, their athleticism. There's a lot of bumps in execution with some of our least experienced players, which is an awesome sign. And what we hope for them is to continue to find this balance of endurance and skill development. There's a lot of things they need to learn from a system standpoint, but they are fantastic, up front from a skill set standpoint. So, the just real quick, Ted, that balance that these guys are starting to have to learn, we've told them before in the club circuit and in the high school circuit, which is why I waited till the end of the fall to introduce these guys, because I wanted them to be in that mold of, the grass ain't greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it. And they've shown the ability to do so. But they come from a club sector or high school sector where they play. I mean, I asked one of my guys, how many games did you play 2 summers ago in club lacrosse? And one of them's, I don't know, 45, 50 games. And And I'm like, that's crazy. We have 17 contests here, Ted. 17 on the year. They played 50 games in 2 months. And so now those games aren't of the same magnitude and capacity. I get that. But even at a high school level, you play Tuesday, you play Thursday, you play Saturday. And it's game after game after game. Here, they practice 138 times and they play 17 days against someone else. And the difference in that scenario is probably one of the biggest obstacles as a competitor that they need to overcome. We talk a lot about being a great practice player because there are so many. And if you can find the balance in being that great practice player, then the games come a little bit easier. And so the endurance factor is something that we can't talk enough about. I've talked a ton about it on this podcast. I always will, and I'll always teach it to these guys because it is very different. And I'm glad to say and proud to say they're learning this endurance. So if we start offensively, Daniel Cano from the Hun School played for a great BBL program. Coach Byron Collins, a great friend of ours, and has been instrumental in two guys in this class and with Ellis Wilson getting here. So it's a guy that we trust implicitly. Dan's a great left-handed attackman, very powerful, great shot, and has shown great execution thus far. Bryce Johnson from the Jackson Hole Community School. From Jackson Hole, believe it or not, our first guy from Jackson Hole played for the Blue Star program that gave us guys like Jack Schleicher, gave us guys like Michael Christensen. The list goes on and on. That Blue Star program has helped us a ton. And Bryce is here because of his involvement there. And just an area where club lacrosse is succeeding is guys like Bryce Johnson on our roster. We wouldn't know of him elsewhere, but or elsewise. But he's great, big, long, lefty, good hands, shoots the heck out of it, and has shown that he can be very impactful this year. Same with Teddy Fenland. Teddy is the St. Joe's Prep School. We get a St. Joe's Prep guy away from Philly and away from St. Joe's University to Hobart. That's a success in our mind. Played for that great Mesa Club program. And Teddy has shown great speed, great versatility, great toughness. Another big size guy that can certainly impact the field athletically as well. He's had a great fall. We can move on to our horse category, our two-way midfielders. James Hamilton is more of a defensive horse. Valor Christian High School out in Denver, Colorado. Played for the Denver Elite program for my good friend Trevor Tierney. And has shown that he has great physical toughness, great athleticism, great speed, all of those good things you want in a defensive horse. Cole DiPietro, coach's kid out of Southside High School. Cole comes off an awesome senior season where Cole actually scored the game-winning goal in overtime in Southside High School's first state championship win. So he ended his season, coach's son scoring the game-winning goal that won their first state championship. That's a great way to end that high school career. I played for an icon club program, and a very talented kid, very fast, very quick, has shown great separation in his dodges and is learning our system day in and day out. Sheldon Broughton, Sheldon Everest Academy up in Canada, and played for the Edge Lacrosse program. Sheldon, or as we call him, Twitch, he is very, very fast, great fitness. He has twice now finished first in our running beep test. He is a guy that has an outstanding motor and is learning the system from field in Canada to field in the United States, and has great ability to impact what we talked about, that gray area in between the lines. John Harding hasn't been with us yet. John Harding is a football player and a lacrosse player from McQuaid High School here in Rochester. Played for the Harvest Club program. We can't wait to get John. If you've been watching, Ted, as I know, our football games.
Oh, yeah.
He's been very impactful out there as a receiver. He's an excellent young man, awesome athlete. We can't wait to add him to this roster in the spring. Cade Cordingley, Cade from the Hill Academy in Canada. Played for a hardcore club program, but was more of a Hill Academy player throughout and an indoor player throughout. Cade comes from a great tutelage of lacrosse players. His father is a longtime general manager in the NLL and a coach in Canada, a recruiter in Canada. I think Cade had a sister who was a Tuerten Award finalist for Hopkins and Tuerten Award finalist for Maryland. He has a twin sister that plays lacrosse at UMass. It's, lacrosse is all over this family from start to finish, in and out. And, Cade has these awesome flashes of being this terrific player and has really settled into this Division I environment. We believe that he has a great ability to finish the ball and impact the offensive end of the field, and he's going to keep getting better. Chase Halem, as our coaches call him, Steady Eddie. Chase is a guy that has great ability to make very few mistakes. He is. There's times, Ted, where we were just joking about it yesterday. We were coaching Chase in a scenario, and he just said, "Hey, can I ask a question?" And he said, "I know you said this, but this happened, and so I made this decision." And he's right. he's corrected us. So he's a very smart player, great IQ, excellent worker. He works his butt off every single day. He's shown that we can put him on the field in all scenarios, and he'll pretty much make the right decision. So moving on to the defensive end of the field, Ryan Mealy from the Kiske School. He's out of PA, played for CW Elite from a club program perspective. Ryan is a fierce athlete. Just think Nolan Firth with a tiny little bit more speed. That's what we got with Ryan. Ryan is a ferocious defender. And if anything, we got to dial him back a little bit just because he can cover 10 yards as fast as anybody we have. And he's very impactful on the ball, and he's great with the ball in his stick. We feel like we've got a guy there that can play the wings of faceoffs, play close defense, play our long stick horse position, and everything in between. He's shown the ability to do a lot of really good things. Ethan Winterbottom. Ethan is from Illinois, but went to Governor's Academy, played for the True Illinois Premier Club program. Ethan is a great close defenseman, sound on his gap play, his decision-making, just kind of your classic, close defenseman who can sit down at the goal line, handle the ball pretty well, doesn't blow you away with speed, but it's got a great knack for the next play and anticipating ball movement. So we feel like he's growing immensely day to day. Reese Chandler, a little bit of an X-factor defenseman we got out of Seattle Prep, and then he took a PG year at the Holderness School. He played, for that Blue Star program that I just said Bryce Johnson's out of. Reese is a big, long, fast, athletic defender who is really confident with the ball in his stick. And the best of kids, I've introduced him to recruits as the governor of Hobart already. He's just so personable, so outgoing, and is just made of the right stuff. So another guy that has shown the ability to learn quickly and again, impact our field every day. Michael Scarpetti, last long stick defenseman here, more of a long stick horse, out of Gil St. Bernard High School, same high school as Ellis Wilson, our goaltender, and played for that BBL program, which I mentioned earlier with Dan Cano. Michael, a scrappy, great in-between guy, great on the ground, great stick work, good anticipation, and just tough. He plays in a very tough fashion. He's slightly undersized, and I think he kind of takes that personal more than his coaches do, or maybe even his opponent, but you can see it in his play. He is he plays with a big, fat chip on his shoulder, and Ted, we love that here. Our goalie in this class, a guy named Brady Smith, out of Jesuit school in Portland, Oregon, the first Portland guy we've had here. He played for Mad Lax Oregon club program. Brady is a really, really great ball stopper, every single day. And he's got that awesome kind of goalie quirky personality. He is so funny and super outgoing. He is a guy that makes probably two or three stops a day, Ted, where we just go, wow, I can't believe that ball didn't get in the goal. So he's learning that balance of the clear, the ride, all the in-between that high school goalies don't have to deal with a ton, but he is very talented and gives our coaching staff a lot to think about in terms of this year and the future. So he's been great. Faceoff guy's name is, and lastly, Griffin Strange. Griffin is out of the IMG school in Florida, originally from Virginia. I played for a two-way lacrosse club program. And Griffin is a very versatile faceoff guy. He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he has great moves at the dot, but he's also really comfortable with the ball in his stick. And I think what we've loved so far is just the dynamic that him, that Mikey Valente, that Seamus Schofield, and that our grad student transfer, Cole Emmanuel, just the relationship they have has already grown into a pretty special one. So Griffin has shown great spurts where he could be a guy that we can count on in any game here. So we love the dynamic of our different face-off guys, but Griffin in particular is a guy that is growing on us just in terms of his ability to show great versatility. So that's that freshman class here. Three offensive players, six horses, two of them a little bit more offensive focused, four defensemen, and a goalie and a faceoff guy. So it's a tremendous class, and we're proud of what they've been doing so far.
All right, I got about 2 minutes left on my free Zoom here, so we've broken the record for longest podcast ever, but good to meet all those
guys.
Thank
God, my coffee's gone, Ben, so we're going to wrap this thing
That's
up.
That's all right. We'll talk again plenty more before the season. Thanks as always, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right, Ted. See you soon.